Thanks so much for having me, everybody. I'm really floored to be here. And it's been really a good reading so far. And this poem actually is for Jimmy because of your shirt. My dad was a Mass State Police for ever, 35, 40 years. And he worked mainly in forensics, undercover, like wherever there was a dead body, that was where he was really flocked to. So this is, and I wrote this poem, and then I went out to visit him, and he gave me a photo that he had framed forever that was of him and I from this very moment, and he didn't even know that I wrote the poem, so it's a little serendipitous, and called The Stoic and the Nihilist. I never asked him if he'd ever killed, or how many, or how it felt, or why. I don't know how old he was when he saw his first corpse in the wild. My guess is 24 in the Massachusetts woods, the age I was when I was drunk, depressed, and traveling the world, stole a car, ate trash. I never asked him if it was too much, if he ever wanted to stop and make it someone else's problem. If he ever stared so far into a bottle he found himself finally cooled and contented, how far it must have been to crawl out. When I was little, we used to walk down to the edge where the harbor crashed into our neighbor's yard and hop along the big boulders as the salt water creeped into our slip-ons and the barnacles scraped against our bare ankles. I was never afraid of falling. I never asked my dad if he, too, was born ready and able and sometimes wanting to die. And this poem's about 10 years old, but I dedicated it to 3 weeks ago. It's called Ouroboros. I'm kept awake in the weight of my own sweat. This city is a swamp. Underground streets full of trains all lead back to themselves. You know that snake den, the slithery sex of venom and anonymity. There is a charge. There's a static. There is a charge imprinted me on this futon. Cost extreme, city of air conditioners, 15 miles of dead hum drip green onto the sidewalk. Puddles of coolant roll like 5 p.m. traffic toward the gutters into the East River. 2 a.m. on a work night, the pulse of caffeine and painkillers. Sirens go off every 20 minutes, their lights bead against my window screen while gravel trucks throb against my dreams. My screen is not mosquito-veined, there's no succulent death. A few numb moths beat against, sucked in by the light. My blood is full of urges. A bus drives by my window, not stopping. A three-story drop seems worth the risk, but this bus is a local, Greenpoint to Queens. I might drown in this city steam. This one's brand new. It doesn't have a title yet. I like to title poems, but I feel like they should come naturally, so we'll see what happens. I felt nothing but the hot seatbelt against my skin, his careless hands pulling my pubic hairs as he tried to snap me from my ennui, the car door pushing against my scab knee. I didn't want fireworks or fingers through my hair, just to say I wanted it to happen. I didn't love him and assumed he knew, both of us so marginal at best. At my going away party, we stepped out into that city night that never dimmed, just lost translucence, drove around the block in his boxy 86 Mustang and grunted. Social distortion, wine story of my life, and I watched the Blanchard's liquor neons jolt back and forth, my eyes caught in between the tight pink and green curving tubes. Time worked as a tool to dismantle us. My reflection in the side mirror opened me. I teared up with disinterest, and we drove back to the party, which was suddenly so far away. As boys do, he took my grief to be in having to say goodbye to him, in establishing a fine love and snipping it like a loose thread. The brownstones and bodegas rose behind us, a rebuilt city without me. And this one's kind of a snafu, because I wrote it when we still didn't know what happened to the Malaysia Flight 370. We know what happened, but there was for a while a theory that it had sank, and the reason was because there's a thing that the planes have called a pinger, which sends out this sonic signal, and you can, if it's on land, you can hear it for so long, and if it sinks into the ocean, you can still pick up its radial signal until it sinks so far below, so they thought that it had just sank to the very bottom of the center of the ocean. I thought that must be very lonely, and I wrote a poem about it. The last living person on Malaysia Flight 370 listens to the pinger's final sonic signals. The loneliness of a sinking plane, the darkening shade of ocean, the blinking hollow siren of the pinger, past the giant squid, close your eyes. The air pressure dropping before it rises, the window seals leak, and then, like fear, burst you awake. You've been holding your breath even before the creaking. Don't realize you're alive until you're dying. Past the Titanic, your nose is bleeding. Your skin lifted in ripples, book pages in a breeze. You can't tell if that's you crying or a sperm whale, or the cell phone you pretended to turn off, or the resilient toddler in row 18, or just the air passing through your ears. Like secrets, like hallroom whispers. Forget how old you are. There are no years down here, no hours. If you open your eyes without bursting open, the light has escaped you. And from above, like a star, you are nothing but a memory, slowly forgetting itself. Thanks, man. It's called Watching the Red Tail Hawk's Courtship Ritual. Oh, aerial diver, today you do not dance for me, but I watch anyway. Another plump bird perched to you in this heat wave. You've been flying large circles 20 minutes now, almost absurd in your ability to love, to want. You swoosh close to her while calling, "Creer!" And if you could, you would have smelled her soft feathers, the squirrel blood still warm. She could tilt her head back to invite you down from the sky to tie up your sails for a moment and define nest. But 20 minutes is a record for all of us now, and why stop? I am naked and drinking coffee and don't intend on dressing all day, maybe. In this secluded backyard, I feel exposed only to your wings and her sharp beak that could scoop me like a muskrat from my voyeurism. But Lady Hawk, we may be two big women daring a dance to continue, but the hot threat of summer has weighed me down so coolly, I can't remember ever feeling as high as you right now. Take your diver, prince of flight, and grasp talons. I wouldn't know what to do with him, and he would like nothing but dinner of my flesh. I have a zine for sale here. It's just $1, and it was to benefit the Braddock Library, but now it's to benefit a chapbook and a CD that will then benefit the Braddock Library. As much as we're tempted, we won't just spend it on beer. And this the project that we're working on is all poems that are based on music or have been affected in some way as music. And this is called Merry Christmas Cornelius 2000. The year, not like 2000. The most I could do was make him take my present. Early Christmas morning, I stole my dad's Camry, drove three towns over to the house. I was never invited. Pulled onto the curb, counted the red bricks of the colonial revival, my face warm with rage. I knocked on his door, saw his mother in the baubles she kept, his sister, who once called me a whore, hiding behind the banister as I shoved the way a scorned woman must into the foyer and smelled the pumpkin pie and roast. His hair was matted, and I told him, and his life was ordinary, and I told him. I gave him his glittered, sharpied mixtape because I knew there was nothing waiting for me. Typical, I said, and I peeled out, took the empty highway, and opened the windows as I paced 100, the cold Massachusetts morning a snap against my cheeks and overbearing heart. Thank you.